Hello everyone, I hope you're well. Welcome to the latest episode of the Travel Podcast. I'm your host, Hayley Sparks, and this week we're going to be talking about a part of the world that I've personally never traveled to and don't actually know that much about. We're going to be talking about Belize and Guatemala, and we are joined by Jo, one of our travel consultants. She has an independent travel business, but she's part of the Not Just Travel group. And Jo and her family were so inspired by their trip to Belize and Guatemala that it was actually quite life-changing, and she's going to tell us more. Jo, welcome to the Travel Podcast.
Hi Hayley, love to speak to you.
Lovely to have you, Jo. Now, I'm excited for this episode because I must admit this is an area of the world that I am not that familiar with, and I'm so excited to find out why you feel so passionate about the area and how it actually changed your life. But for our listeners like me who might not be familiar with the area, let's talk about where it is in the world.
So it's in Central America, just south of Mexico, on that kind of peninsula. And so we flew into Miami, had a few days in Miami, then took a short flight down to Belize. And then we were on the ground kind of moving around Belize and Guatemala then. So that gives you an idea of where it is in the world.
And what made you and your family head there as a destination? Is it somewhere that you'd researched? Had you seen on TV? What inspired you to take a trip and visit those particular destinations?
My husband and I, we met training as diving instructors in Thailand. So that's how we met. Diving is just one of our things that we will always want to do on a holiday. And so we hadn't really gone diving that much. And then our children, when they were old enough, we were going, this is now the ultimate time to take them on a bit of adventure. We love our action holidays. We love immersing ourselves in culture and history and food and wildlife. So when my children were 6 and 10, we went, they're old enough now, let's choose somewhere completely different. We've never traveled in that direction before. So we researched. I started with Costa Rica, learning about Costa Rica, and fell in love with the idea of seeing toucans and monkeys and things. And then the more research I did, it just found that because Belize is smaller, it used to be a British colony as well. So it's far more set up more for the British market than the Americans. Therefore, it's a lot cheaper as well. It's just that little bit more quiet, little bit more authentic. Belize is actually the size of Wales, it's really small. It's the size of Wales, but it has a population of only around 400,000 people. So it's not populated. Belize have done an incredible job in keeping the rainforest and the jungle pristine. They adopted ecotourism far earlier than the rest of the world did. They understand that if you protect what you've got, then people will come and experience it. So that's where we did our research, and that's why we chose Belize.
Oh, fascinating. And Guatemala is obviously right next door, so lends itself well to a trip where you can experience both destinations really easily.
Yeah, so we really wanted to take the kids and obviously see ourselves the Mayan temples and the Mayan ruins. And so you've got some amazing sites in Belize, but then you hop over, because the whole tour for us, it was private, but it was escorted. So we had our drivers who were amazing. They weren't just drivers, they were the most knowledgeable, interesting guides. So we would have one for the day that we went from Belize to Guatemala. We had a driver that would drive us up to the Belize border, and then you walk across, and then another driver on the other side takes you over, collects you at that border, and then took us off to Tikal, which is the most impressive of the Mayan sites in that whole kind of, when it was this incredible empire. And Tikal was almost, it was like the city, it was the center of the Mayan culture. And now it's these incredible ruins shrouded by dense tropical jungle with toucans in the trees and howler monkeys jumping and from kind of tree to tree. So yeah, a really, really special place.
And crossing the border was easy then. Obviously, you did it on foot. That's really fascinating. But was that side of things quite straightforward for you?
It was really straightforward. It's quite a solemn affair when you're kind of crossing the border on foot. And the kids said it was one of their favourite moments because you're literally stepping from, like, you've got one foot in one country and one foot in the other country, and the difference even within a couple of metres was incredible. So Belize is this green, lush place where everyone speaks British. As soon as you go across that Guatemala border, you've got these kind of Spanish speaking, different kind of tavernas, and the way that they serve food is completely different. And the fact that they do a lot more farming means that the landscape's completely different as well. It was just a real major culture change, but fascinating to see.
Yeah, that's really fascinating. And I guess as a trip as well, to have the diversity, to have two countries side by side with that much variety in what they both have to offer combined in one family holiday, must have been wonderful to take all of that in.
It really was. So the children in Guatemala, they were making friends with the local kind of Spanish speaking tourists. So my daughter was practicing her Spanish and the Guatemalan child was practicing her English, and they're making friends in the pool. And then we're getting up and going to wander around these incredible ruins. It was just so unbelievably unique, unlike anything else we've ever experienced.
Because it was so unique, Joe, is that why you say that it really did transform your life? I'm interested to dive deep about how and why you felt so transformed by this particular trip.
It's because Belize is this friendly, cultural, incredible place. The Mayan culture is fascinating. So we learned so much. And then because I knew that when we were going to come back, my daughter in her year was going to be learning the Mayan culture. She was going to be learning Mayan culture in the national curriculum. She actually stood up in class and taught two classes to her class on the Mayan culture. So she was saying, well, when we went here, we did this. So, and then they also learned about the rainforest as part of the national curriculum. So for them, it means that education comes alive. For us, there were absolute highlights. So when we were in this amazing place in the Cayo district, we're waking up to the sound of howler monkeys. Now, howler monkeys are these, they're not even that big, but the noise they make, they're the loudest land mammal, or the loudest land animal. And they have this kind of really bizarre, strange roar. So much so that they actually used a slowed down version for the T-Rex roar in Jurassic Park.
So when you... Oh, so it's actually a monkey's sound.
Yeah, that's absolutely interesting. Yeah. So we're waking up and my son he's going, Mummy, I can't sleep. The howler monkeys are waking me up. And I'm saying to him, you are so lucky to be able to say that sentence, that it's the monkeys that are waking you up. And then you wake up in this, we had this incredible lodge looking over the valley with a stream running past. Howler monkeys, toucans, and hummingbirds were flitting around our heads as we're having breakfast in this amazing lodge, which is just incredible for bird watching. I've never seen so many stunningly beautiful birds just flying around all over the place. There's so much to see. So as I'm a complete wildlife loving geek, that was incredible. We're doing night safaris for the kids where we can go and see spiders and scorpions up trees and iguanas, all sorts. There were so many things to see. And then before we even get to the diving, which was in Plasencia, which is in this Creole fishing village. So still within Belize, but because there's such a diversity of cultures, we went from kind of more of a Mayan culture down to a Creole country, like culture. So then we were able to go dive in with dolphins and sharks and turtles. And yeah, it was just amazing.
So it really is a part of the world for nature and animal lovers to, it sounds like there's so much to see.
And I think that's the thing. I think families, especially, are that people want to show their children new things. And so family adventure, I think, is such an amazing opportunity to give kids. But to go to such a safe place where you feel so safe, where transport is easy, where you can just go, you're not sitting in cars for hours and hours and hours. It's so accessible that it's just this undiscovered gem that I think, yeah, it needs more recognition.
And was there a particular time of year that you researched when is a good time to go?
Yeah, so you've got your dry season. So dry season's kind of mid-November to mid-May. February is an amazing time to go because it's a lot quieter than just after Christmas and before Easter holidays. The Easter holidays can get busy. We went during the Easter holidays because we had the children and we took them out for a week rather than kind of 2 weeks. But if you're not limited by school holidays, February is a great time to go as well because it's a lot quieter.
And what are the temperatures like that time of year?
The temperatures, so the humidity was one thing. So when you're walking up a temple with your children and it's hot and humid, we kind of developed a trick where we would literally go into the bathrooms, drench all of our clothes in water, and then kind of that would cool us down. But then you've got kind of Placentia, which is the beach resort. Because you're in the pool a lot, you're in the sea, that felt a lot more cooler. So yeah, it's kind of more on the hotter time. I'd say the children were kind of going, "Mum, I am hot now," but we used the handheld fans and the accommodation was just incredible. So it was definitely doable, but it's not too unbearable when you can kind of compare it to other places like the Mediterranean at summertime or something like that.
And you were there for a week, did you say?
We were actually there for 20 days. So we had a multi-centre itinerary where we flew London into Miami. And then we spent 2 nights, 3 days in Miami and had the most amazing time. We went to South Beach. We went to Muscle Beach. We went to the most fantastic street art area called Wynwood. Loved that. Then we kind of had a boat tour, seen the celebrities' homes, like these multi-million pound homes. That was fantastic as well. Before we then flew from Miami into Belize. You don't spend any time in Belize City, so you go straight up there and it was hilarious because we knew that we were getting transfers included, but our flight was delayed by a few, I think 40 minutes. So we were worried that the speedboat transfer was going to depart without us. And we said, what time does it depart? And the guide went, well, now you're here, it will depart now. And we had no idea that when it was a private transfer, it really meant it was just for us. We were like, this is a level of kind of luxury we're just not used to. But again, those kind of things, having the transfers, the guides, it just made everything flow so smoothly, especially with kids as well. If one of them decided that they needed to stop off at the toilet, it's all fine. You're not on this big coach where you have to, you know, work around others.
That's good to have that kind of private transfer. That's brilliant. How long was the flight from Miami to Belize? Is it a long flight or quite a short one?
Well, so the flight into Miami was about 9 hours, but it was fascinating. Even just look out the window and see how you're flying over the coast, like down the coast of the US, and just to see the scale of the US to show the children how big it is. And then the flight from Miami down to Belize was only a few hours. It wasn't too long at all. It was a short flight. And then to fly again as you're kind of over, just flying over that coastline, flying into jungle is just incredible, to go from Miami to the rainforest in just a few hours.
Yeah, short transfer time to, again, get that variety and that diversity out of your family holiday. And let's talk about the food. What was that like when you were there?
So the food changes completely depending on which area of Belize you're in, because, again, you've just got this melting pot of cultures. So when we were in kind of the Lamanai, when we were in Black Rock Lodge, it's very much kind of similar to how you kind of have your rice, you have your beans, you have eggs, those kind of things. The kids just ate their body weight in pancakes every single day, so they were perfectly happy. And then you go down to Placentia, again with Creole food. One of the highlights we had, because it was all seafood, so again, just for me, being able to eat seafood freely on holiday is just luxury. But as we're diving instructors, for us, we're always really quite protective over what we're eating. But because lionfish are such a predatorial species, they've got an issue with having too many. They've got an issue with having too many lionfish on the coral reefs out there. So if you eat lionfish ceviche, which is just incredible, you are actually helping them keep the population down to help nature thrive as it's supposed to. So we were eating lionfish ceviche kind of every night, just going, this is amazing, and there's no way we would ever do this in Thailand because it's a marine conservation area. But yeah, giving up, helping by eating amazing food, that was a big tick for us.
Oh, a massive tick. And then how did the food options change in Guatemala? Because she said obviously there was quite a cultural shift and a big change when you went across the border. Was the food different there?
When we were traveling with our guide to Tikal, we stopped off at this incredible freshwater lake where we were kind of a little bit hot and sticky from the drive. So we all just jumped into this freshwater lake. The kids were making friends with the locals. And then we sat there on this, it was a open-aired restaurant on stilts where all the locals were eating as well. And we're eating this freshly caught fish, just barbecued right there and then. So again, eating this freshwater fish was amazing. And then you have that it's real Central American food. So again, there's kind of, you have your rice or soup or beans and eggs and again pancakes for the kids. So if your children are fussy, there will always be options for them as well. So yeah, it's just that more of a Spanish influence. The food, the Belize and Guatemalan food, it's not going to be up there with Thai or, you know, one of those cultures where food is one of the things that you rave about. But it was great food, just not the most flavoursome. So we were pouring hot sauce on it and things like that just to jazz it up a bit. So much so, we fell in love with this Belizean hot sauce called Mary Sharp's. And we bought as many bottles of it as we could, and we brought them back with us to the UK, because we can't live without this sauce. It just makes everything taste incredible.
Oh, it's brilliant. It sounds like an amazing trip. And who do you think are the kind of people that should consider visiting this part of the world?
Because the wildlife is so abundant, when you're getting ready, you can hear the monkey, you know, you're getting ready for a lovely evening meal, you can hear the monkeys in the trees, or you go outside and there's three different types of toucan in one tree. I remember seeing that in Guatemala, just thinking that's incredible. Or there's crocodiles in the lake, small ones, they're not dangerous. But because you have the incredible wildlife, anybody who's into their wildlife, anybody who's into birds, the bird watching was incredible. In at Black Rock Lodge in the rainforest, there were some bird watchers who had these incredible cameras. Like, the zooms on these things were immense. So they were there specifically for bird watching because the abundance is incredible. You've then got your Mayan culture. We went to these temples and we were the only people at these temples. it's so quiet. Whereas if you went to somewhere like on the Inca Trail, you might have to queue up to kind of go and have a look at these temples. We had these whole incredible sights to ourselves. So we honestly felt we were discovering it as a family. It was just that authentic experience. So you've got so many different reasons to go. And of course, diving. The diving was amazing. Swimming with sharks and turtles and rays. Just it, and the fish were just so beautiful and colourful. And the sea was warm. It just ticks so many boxes. So I really would say, if you're looking for a safe family adventure, definitely for families. If you're a couple or a solo traveler who's after the wildlife or the culture, there's something for you there. Whether you want to visit on a private tour like we did, or a group escorted tour, there's so many different ways of seeing it.
And do you think going on a tour would be your recommendation? Because it sounds like there's a lot to fit in, a lot to see, and maybe getting from A to B. So perhaps a tour would be a better way of holidaying.
Absolutely, because you're not so often you can think of a tour as being that the logistics of getting from A to B. But what became more apparent during this holiday than anywhere else is how valuable that your guide, your driver's knowledge is. So he would say, "Are you hungry?" And we'd say, "Yes." And we would say to him, "Can you just take us to where? Don't take us to any posh restaurants. Take us to where you go, because we want to have the experience that you have." So we would go out for lunch with our driver and meet his friends and have that real Belizean authentic experience.
I think that's so lovely. That authenticity is really coming across. And also what's interesting hearing from you is how underpopulated the area is. With it being a bit of a hidden gem, perhaps not something that is immediately on the vast majority of people's travel bucket list, because it's their destinations that aren't so commonly talked about, known about, they're a little bit more undiscovered. As you said, when you go there, having that almost feeling like you have the place to yourself. If you're somebody that hates crowds or anything that's too built up or too touristy, this sounds like the exact opposite of that.
Absolutely. It's almost like, why are we even, we should keep it as a secret, but it's a place that is so welcoming, so well managed, and such great value as well. I think that's the thing, because we were speaking to Americans who have done Costa Rica and I was really, really interested to find out that difference between Costa Rica and Belize. And they were kind of saying, yep, Costa Rica, because it's had that American influence a lot earlier, the resorts are bigger, they're more crowded, whereas Belize, it really hasn't had that. The quality of the accommodation was incredible. When we were in Plasencia, which is the beach resort, we went into our villa and the children were mind blown for the fact that there were four sinks. There were two bathrooms, four sinks. One for my daughter, one for my son, one for me, and one for my husband. And they were saying, "This is just amazing." And then you could order your food and you could choose where you wanted your dinner or your breakfast. So you could have it on the jetty overlooking the water, or you could have it on your balcony, or you could have it in bed, or you could choose wherever on the resort you wanted to have your food. So as a kid, it was mind-blowing for the children. They realized how lucky they were going on a trip like that.
Oh, it sounds so luxurious. Adventure, luxury, lovely people, great food, beautiful nature, lovely warm weather. It's just ticking so many boxes. And thank you so much for taking the time to come on the podcast, Joe, and share it with our audience. I hope it's been really inspirational and will now be a destination that our listeners are interested in finding out more, or will put on their list for future family or single couple holidays. It's definitely piqued my interest. And I love the fact that we're talking more and more recently about alternative destinations that are beautiful, that are less known and also more affordable and less crowded. And this definitely seems to be destinations that fall into that category for sure.
Absolutely. And with that become with being that less busy, it gives you that opportunity to really mix with the locals, kind of mix with the communities, understand their culture, and as I say, have that authentic adventure.
Well, thank you so much, Jo. It's been great to speak to you. Thank you for coming on the podcast. And thank you so much for listening. If you have been inspired by this episode, please do reach out to the travel consultant that sent you this podcast. They'd love to help you plan your next destination, wherever it is in the world. Thanks for listening, and I will see you next week.